The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. I was struck by the fact it says that Jesus did not want anyone to know about his journey. And I found that surprising because obviously Jesus came to proclaim the good news. Why would he want to be traveling in secret, not letting anyone about his journey know about his journey? So I began looking, some commentaries. I found out that really the reason for this, because this signifies a switch in the focus of the ministry of Jesus. The first month of his ministry, he was focused on working miracles, healing the sick, exorcising demons, walking on water, feeding the thousands, so people can realize that he is unique, he is different, he has the power of God working through him. But then there came a switch when he asked the disciples, as we heard last Sunday, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ." And that was the first time then Jesus responding by telling them that he has to go to Jerusalem to suffer, die, and rise again. And actually, in the three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus tells his disciples three times what we heard today. This is the second time. And every time, they refused to accept it. Last time, when Jesus told them this, we were told that Peter took him to the side and said, "No, Lord, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem." And then we're told that Jesus turned around and looked at the disciples to make sure they can hear him and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking as God thinks." See, in their mind, to the people at the time of Jesus, the Jewish people, is the Messiah going to be this powerful king, someone like David, who will conquer the Romans, rebuild the nation, and make him a great nation, a strong power, finish rebuilding the temple? But that's not what Jesus is. That's not what Jesus came to do. He is the suffering servant who gives his life for his people. He came not to save them just from the Romans. He came to save everyone from sin and death and to open the gates of heaven to all who believe in him. But if you have the choice, like the disciple, which image you want to accept of Jesus, the mighty king, the conqueror, or the servant who's going to die on the cross? Sure, we all want the powerful Jesus. And that's why this time when he tells them again, they kind of learned the lesson, so they don't say anything because they saw and heard how he rebuked Peter. But Jesus knows what's on their minds and on their hearts. So he doesn't let it go. Once they get into the house, he asks them, what were you discussing along the way? And along the way, that's how the early Christians were referred to. People on the way, because all of us are on the way towards heaven. And they still wouldn't tell him, because they were still thinking about the way this world thinks. Who is the greatest? Who's going to be in power? Who's going to be, you know, Jesus' right hand and left hand? And that's why Jesus takes the child and puts it in their midst and puts his arms around this child. And that's the only, there's two places in all the Gospels where the same term is used as Jesus puts his arm around the child, is with the story of the prodigal son, when the father runs to his son who comes back and puts his arms around him. And what Jesus is telling them through the image of the child or through that child is really what he's all about, is how we love children, how parents love their children. You know, the thing about children is they want everything from someone. They can't provide for themselves. They need love, they need food, they need, you know, attention, they need everything from their parents. And as parents, we don't give these things to our children because we're thinking what he's going to give me back or what my daughter going to give me back. We do it out of love because they are our children. And that's the same thing with God and us. To follow Jesus along the way means to accept that same principle of service, of giving ourselves to the other, not because we expect something back, but because we love them. That's what the cross is all about. It's not about pain and suffering. God doesn't want anyone to suffer or experience pain for any reason. But when we give of ourselves to other, that's the cross that we bear. That's the cross that Jesus tells us we need to carry. The same cross he carried. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't ask for guarantees from us that we're going to follow him or love him or believe in him. Actually, when everyone abandoned him except our Blessed Mother and the beloved disciple, he still gave his life on the cross. Because he's not seeking anything back from us. He wants us freely to love him back the way he loved us, to love one another. And that's why our second reading talks about, you know, ambitions and jealousy and wars. Because if we follow these things, that's what it's going to lead to. If we're all about what's best for me, what's in it for me, that's going to lead to conflict, to division, to wars, to death. And the evil in the world doesn't want to hear the truth, doesn't want to hear about the way of Jesus, the way of love. And that's why they conspire to kill Jesus, to silence him. Yeah, let's see if really God loves him and that's what God wants him to do. God will save him. And indeed, God did save him and raised him up to eternal life, as he will for each one of us, if we accept Jesus, accept his way of love, if we follow him along the way. Today is Catechist Sunday, and that's how the church continued this ministry of really treating all of its children, whether young people, children, adults, with the love and embracing them. Because the greatest gift we can give to one another is the gift of Jesus, the gift of our faith. And as parents, like I said early on, that's our primary responsibility as Christian parents. When you bring your child to be baptized, when you brought your children to be baptized, the priest asks you, are you willing to do this? And the parents and God's parents say yes. And the church gives us more than the parents. They give us, you know, teachers and catechists, those who teach religion in Catholic schools, those who teach catechism in the religious ed programs, those who, you know, conduct Bible study, do baptism preparation, The priests, all of us here, are about sharing our faith with one another, embracing one another as Jesus embraced that child, not for any gain or purpose for us. Many of you who've been catechists, you do it as volunteers. You give of your time and talent to share with the children what you believe is important, what you believe is the most important things in life. As parents, you want your children to have good education, have a good life, live in a good home. But what about heaven? Do you want them to go to heaven? I think somehow along throughout the times we forgot that our main responsibility is to get our children to Jesus so they can follow him along the way to eternal life. And that's why the church each year gives us Catechist Sunday, to remind us of our mission. Jesus wanted to go in secret, not to know anybody to know about him, so he can focus on giving this message to his disciples. Because it is a difficult message. He's basically telling us, don't respond to anger and to envy and to evil in the world with the same way. Respond in love, and love will lead us to the cross. That's how we experience the pain and suffering of Jesus. Because we do it with love, we do it with more service, we do it with humility, and we do it trusting that God will indeed raise us up. And he always does.